We get a new series starting called Less Stress, and I love talking about this because the reality is if you haven't noticed, we live in a culture that's totally stressed out, totally overwhelmed. We are so busy running from one thing to the next thing. We've got things always going. We're consumed by this, and in fact, maybe I could just take a little bit of a poll. How many of you would be honest enough to say, in the last week you've experienced some sort of stress in your life? Just go ahead and raise your hand up. Okay, keep your hands up. Look around if you would. If you're not raising your hand, just so you know, you're the ones causing the stress. So just so you know, just so you know. Anyway, it doesn't take a lot of convincing to say that our culture is stressed out, and whether you've experienced stress recently, you're stressed now, chances are you deal with it from time to time. And in fact, maybe you could relate to some of these memes. Got this one here. Stress, no stress here. Anybody ever feel like that before? Just how about this next one? I've learned to use meditation and relaxation to handle stress. Just kidding, I'm on my third glass of wine. We don't condone that here. How about this one? Can you read the caption and you think you have stress? Isn't that what life feels like sometimes, though? Like you've got this the thing just hovering over you, and any moment it's going to come crashing down on you. Stress. You know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of studies done on stress, and maybe you know this already, but studies estimate that 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects because of, you know what? Stress. Do you know this one, that stress-related ailments account for 75 to 90% of all doctor's visits? How about this one? It's estimated that the number of stress-related deaths in the U.S., 110 million every single year. That's 7 people every 2 seconds. Isn't that crazy? I mean, stress. People are stressed. People are overwhelmed. And you know, there's been times in my life where I've stepped back and thought, my goodness, like, is this actually how God intended me to live, overwhelmed, stressed like this? And I think that's a good question to ask. Does God intend for us to have stress in our lives? And maybe just one more poll. How many of you would say, no, God doesn't design us to have any stress in our lives? No stress whatsoever, right? Okay, a couple people. How many of you would say, yes, God designs for us to have stress in our lives? Okay, it's kind of a trick question. The correct answer is yes to both of them. Because God does not design us to have certain types of stress, but it's not possible, nor is it good for us to have no stress in our lives. And just for an example, I don't know about you, but I have so enjoyed having Ani lead us in worship during the week. And I think she's got such an anointing on her life, and just a beautiful voice. And yeah. But when she plays guitar and sings, it's like the angels descend or something like that. I love it. But something about her guitar, interesting, is her strings. If there's not enough stress on her strings, you know what happens? You don't get those beautiful tones that you hear from her. But you know what happens if she puts too much stress on her strings? Right? They snap like that. And that's what life is like. If we don't have enough stress on our life, it's like we don't fulfill our calling. But if we have too much stress on our lives, it's just too much. And honestly, that's what it feels like. Like, life can snap. And so if we all deal with stress on some level, and some stress is not bad, what in fact does God actually have to say about stress? I'm glad that you asked that question this morning, because we're going to talk about that. Genesis chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn there. If you're new to the scriptures, Genesis is the first book in the Bible. We're going to be in 1, so it's probably the first or second page in your Bible. And so if you want to go ahead and turn there, this is our origin story, and this is how it starts out. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And so just for a little bit of context, we're in Genesis. This is the sixth day in the creation story. God creates man in his image. And I just want to stop there and consider that word image, because when Moses wrote this down, when he composed these words talking about the creation story, there were no mirrors, so people didn't know exactly what they looked like. There were no portrait painters, and so you didn't have an exact representation of what somebody looked like. There was no Costco one-hour photo labs or anything like that. I think a better translation of the word image or likeness would be the word imprint or impression. I don't know if you've had kids in your house where they bring things home like this, and you're like, you know, what do I do with a artwork or a toy like this? And then sometimes they bring home a masterpiece, and it's like these potteries where they put their handprint in them. You remember those? And the beautiful thing about that, and we have one from each of our kids, is nobody's handprint fits in that except for my kid. So if Eli brought it home, it's only his handprint. If Evie or if Caleb, only their handprint fits there. And it's the same for us, that there's an indentation on all of us that can only be filled by the hand of God. And there's all sorts of ways that we try to fill that impression. There's all sorts of ways that we try to manage things on our own. But the reality is that unless we understand how God has wired us and we lean into that rhythm, then it just doesn't work in life. Let me read the rest of the story. Genesis chapter 1, it said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And so here's the point here that we're reading, that from the very beginning of creation, we weren't simply created to only exist. We were created to produce. We were created to work, to create, to build, to increase. So part of our DNA is working hard, is having things come from our hard work. But there is a very specific way that we're supposed to work, and the pattern is laid out for us here. Verse 31, it says, God saw all that he'd made, and it was, what's that phrase? It was very good. And there was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So here's what we see. Mankind was created on the sixth day of the creation order. But even more important is that is what happened on the seventh day. On the seventh day, the first full day of mankind's existence, Adam and Eve rested. All of creation rested. Everybody took a well-deserved break in activity. This was the first full day. It was a day of rest, and then the work began. And what I want to communicate here this morning, in fact, if you're taking notes, you can write this in, is this important principle, is that we are to work from our rest. We are not designed to rest from our work. Now, let me say that one more time. We are to work from our rest, not rest from our work. And I know it seems like semantics, so let me explain it here like this. That resting is designed to be our starting point in life. That the order that God established for us that we see in the creation order is that we rest, and from that rest, we work. But so oftentimes, here's how we do it, is we work and we work and we work and we work and we work, and if we get time, then we rest. But for God, rest is vitally important. In fact, look at this. I think this is fun. If you look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, the first three have to do with our relationship with God. The last six have to do with our relationship with mankind. The Israelites had come out of Egypt and from slavery into they're beginning their journey into the promised land, and God basically unveils for them. We call them the Ten Commandments. Some people call them the Tender Commandments because they're basically God saying, this is how you thrive. This is the lifestyle I want you to live so that you can experience all the blessings that I have for you. And right in the middle of them, the fourth commandment, God says this. He says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it what? What's that word? Holy. Now, if you remember back in Genesis chapter 1, he calls it holy. And there's a progression in the creation order. If you remember, God, every time he creates something, do you remember the word he uses to describe it? He says, and it was good. It was good. It was good. It was good. And then when he creates mankind, you remember what he says? It was very good. And then when he talks about the Sabbath, he says it's holy. So you've got a progression. It's good. It's very good. And it's holy. Holy means set apart, means different, the Sabbath. And what's interesting to me is that in the Ten Commandments, God gives just one-line statements like don't murder, don't covet, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery. But he gives an entire paragraph dedicated to explaining the importance of us taking one single day, 24-hour period, to rest and to honor the Sabbath. And it's interesting to me because we so often treat God's command to rest like it's a suggestion. Like, you know, when things slow down, I'll rest a little bit more. Or, you know, in the new year, it'll be one of my resolutions. I'm gonna take some time to rest. Or when I get some vacation time, I'm going to take some downtime and rest. But we would never say that about any of the other commandments. We would never say, you know, when the kids get a little older, I'm going to stop committing murder so often. You know, when I get a little bit of downtime, I'm going to stop committing adultery. You know, I'm going to try to cut my lying in half when things slow down a little. We would never do that. And yet, the command to take a Sabbath and one 24-hour period to rest, we so often treat as a suggestion. Why is that? I mean, one obvious reason is our culture is not wired around, it's not centered around honoring God and taking a day to rest. But so often it's easy to get wrapped up in all the things that we have to do. We forget about it, we get busy. But I think another reason is we so often lose track of God's and his ongoing goodness and his provision in our life. And we begin to think that it's because of our own source of talent and energy and skill and everything that we produce that makes the world turn. This is huge for us. That since our first experience as created beings with our Creator was a day of rest, we see that in order to fulfill our calling to be fruitful, we have got to start from a place of rest, where we learn to rest in God and abide in his presence. And that truly the only way to fulfill his calling on our life and to produce the good fruit that he has for us is to learn to rest in him. I love how Jesus says this, and of course Jesus is our example for everything. He says this in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, "Yes, I'm the vine, and you are the branches." Those who what? Say that phrase with me. "Those who remain in me." Remain in me, and I in them will do what? They will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me, and you'll produce much fruit. I've got a picture for you. It's just a simple picture. This is of a vineyard. You've got a vine and a branch. Branch is bearing a lot of fruit, and I want you to look at that picture as I read this passage one more time. Jesus said, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." And it's almost as if, hey, Jesus was probably walking through a vineyard as he's talking about this. And it's almost like he takes this cluster of grapes or this branch in hand and says, if you remain attached to me, this is what you'll produce. This is what your life will look like. But imagine what would happen if you break that branch off. What happens? We wouldn't expect that cluster of grapes to do anything except for to wither and decay. It's like Jesus is trying to get us to understand that is the way that we thrive. That's the way that we produce from our lives is being attached to Jesus. And I think that probably is the goal that we all want from our lives. We want the things that matter to us to grow, to produce. We want to be fruitful. We want to have good things come from our lives. But here's the key. That if you want to grow as a rhythm of your life, then we have to learn how to abide in Christ. I think there's a proper rhythm, of course, is almost as if you were to just kind of look at this continuum, and on one side you had working, and on the other side of the continuum you had resting. The reality is that if you work too much and you don't get enough rest, what happens? We get stressed, we get overwhelmed, we get sick. We get out of shape. We have poor decision making. Our relationship with God suffers. Our relationship with our family suffers. Our life gets out of whack. That's what happens when we work too much and we don't get enough rest. But what happens on the other side of the continuum? If we rest too much without working, we're lazy, we're lethargic, we're irresponsible, we don't steward our time well, we don't have good things come from our life. And so there's got to be a proper rhythm between working and resting. Nobody can work 24/7, and nobody should rest without working. And I almost think of it as like a pendulum with something swinging in the middle. You've got a continuum between work and rest and a pendulum swinging in the middle. And what most of us do is we put all of our energy into working, 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 and resting if we can. And as we talked about, I believe things suffer. I think that, there are some of us that are so stinking talented at what we do that we're able to manage it for a season. But eventually things get out of whack. But on the other side of things, this is what Jesus says, is that we're to rest in him, to remain in him, to abide in him. And what happens out of this is that we bear much fruit. And if you think about this as a pendulum, that when we abide in Christ, it's like the deeper we abide in Christ, the deeper we rest in him, the deeper we attach ourselves to Jesus. Think of the pendulum. The further up we go, the further it swings into producing and having good things come from our life and being effective with our lives. So really the secret of real growth, of being productive with our lives, is being with Jesus and getting the rest that he intends for you to have and when you abide in him. And so let me get very practical here this morning. If God intends for us to grow and to bear fruit, and that happens when we remain in Christ, what does that practically look like for us on a day-to-day level? I love this passage. Jesus continues in John chapter 15. He says this. He says, if you obey my commands, you will remain. It's the same word, abide in me, remain, attach yourself. You will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. How do we abide in Christ? You obey his commands. This is a lifestyle. We have to learn the rhythm of how God intends for us to live. We remember that commandments are not do's and don'ts, it's this lifestyle. So how do we do this? How do we abide in Christ? Let me give you very three practical things that I think we can walk out this door and apply immediately to our lives. Number one is this, if you're taking notes. If we want to abide in Christ, then we need moment-by-moment support. Moment-by-moment support. This is more than just going to God when things get bad, but this is a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus. In this church, we talk about and we preach not just knowing about God, we talk about knowing God and having a relationship with him. And moment-by-moment support is so much about just understanding as we go throughout our day that we are attaching ourselves to Jesus. We're continually recalibrating our minds so that we are remembering that we're walking with Jesus. That may look like just pulling out a verse from your YouVersion Bible app and reading it, or putting a sticky note on your desk of your memory verse and thinking about it, or praying, or stopping and having a moment of gratitude where you're just constantly recalibrating this moment by moment relationship with Jesus. If we want to abide in Christ, if we want to abide in Christ so that we bear much fruit, it starts with understanding this moment by moment relationship with him. The second thing, if you're taking notes, to abide in Christ is we need this daily solitude. Moment by moment support. Number two in your notes is daily solitude. That's before we start our day. We make sure the first and most important thing that we do is spending time with Jesus. We have a conversation with Jesus. We read his word to us for the day. And that could be as simple as reading the verse of the day. It could be as simple as reading a chapter or reading in your Bible reading plan. Whatever it is, you read his word to you. You spend time talking with him. So we have to have moment-by-moment support throughout the day. We start our day with daily solitude. And the third thing we've already touched upon, and that's a weekly Sabbath. That's where once a week we take one day to do nothing that pushes the ball forward. That means that we don't do chores unless we want to. It means we don't whittle down the honey-do list. It's not a day to get all the errands done that we didn't get throughout the rest of the week. That's where we simply rest in whatever contextual way that you apply that to your life. You simply rest. For me, I know Sarah and I, we've tried to implement this in our lives, and it hasn't come very easy as we are just used to going and going and going and then taking a day to stop. But it's gotten to a point where we Sabbath hard. I pull out my hammock and I get a book out and I stay in my hammock for as long as I can. Our day off is on Fridays, and from Thursday late at night until Friday night, we are down. I don't answer texts. I don't answer phone calls. I don't check my email. I don't do chores. We just rest. And for some of us, that's something that we need to put into our calendar. And if you're married, if you've got a family, that's a decision you got to make together. And is how are you going to apply this to your life? But I think one of the beautiful things that happens is what really happens internally when we rest. that for me, I free myself from the delusion that the world needs my work ethic or that I'm the only one that can get it done. It reminds me that God is all-powerful even when I'm doing nothing, that God does not need me to get his plan accomplished on the Sabbath. I think in our church, we've got so many high achievers and people that just have are tremendous at what they do and type A personalities. And I think for many of us, resting doesn't come very naturally. We're used to doing and accomplishing, and resting is very difficult. And I would say this is something you can write in your message notes. So what we don't do naturally, we have got to do intentionally. What we don't do naturally, what just doesn't come naturally to us, we've got to figure out how to do it. And I would say one of the best things that you can do is sit down as an individual or as a family and you calendar your Sabbath day. I've heard it said from many different people that if you don't calendar it, it doesn't matter to you. So you get it in your calendar. What's the day that you are going to rest? What's the day you're going to rest? I think the bottom line is that God desires every single one of us to have lives filled with his kind of rest, that it's in our DNA to need to rest fully, but only, I think the rest that we need, the soul level kind of rest, only happens when we learn to abide in Jesus. This moment by moment relationship, this day by day solitude, this week by week Sabbath where we learn to abide in Jesus. And so if you found yourself stressed or overwhelmed, you feel like your life is out of whack, then let me encourage you. Rest in Jesus. Attach yourself to him and allow him to produce that fruit in your life. On your notes, you've got a spot to write down what you're going to do intentionally. And obviously, you know your schedule better than anybody else. And you've got three things to write there. What is your moment-by-moment support going to look like for your life? What's your daily solitude going to look like? When you wake up, what are you going to do? Maybe you're just going to open up your YouVersion Bible app. Maybe you've set your Bible there. Maybe you've got a post-it card with a memory verse. Maybe you're going to slip out of bed onto your knees and just thank God for a new day and commit the day to him. Whatever it is, what's your daily solitude going to look like? And then what day of the week are you going to take your weekly Sabbath? I'll be honest with you. I think for many of us, whether you're a stay-at-home parent or a student trying to figure out how to get all of your homework done or preparing for a test, or you're in a career where you've got expectations where you're always going to be on call or you've got the demands of work, choosing to rest is an act of courage and it's an act of faith. Where you say, Jesus, I don't know how I'm going to get everything done, or maybe you need that seventh day for your paycheck. And you say, God, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay my bills if I don't work that seventh day. But I'm choosing to trust you that if this is the rhythm that you're calling me to live, I'm going to trust you and step out of faith that you're going to provide for me as I do this. It's a commitment of courage and of faith. I want to invite you this morning to bow your heads with me. Because I think many of us are facing pressure to be successful in our jobs. Maybe you're looking for a way to build your business or build your career or get more done or fill all those obligations or get your kids to all those places and help them to succeed. And I think it's good because our lives are designed to be fruitful. Growth is a sign of life. But in order to be productive as God has intended you to be, you've got to live a life of rhythm that God has designed. And how many of you, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, would say, you know what, I've not really taken that fourth commandment very seriously to rest. I'm not taking that commandment very seriously to set a day aside to just abide in Jesus. And this morning you're deciding you're going to turn around. Maybe your life feels out of whack. Maybe things, priorities are kind of upside down. And this morning you're saying, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to commit to taking a day to rest, and I'm going to try to apply this to my life on a daily and moment-by-moment basis. And say, I'm going to take God's commandment to rest seriously. How many of you this morning would say that? Just raise your hand. Nobody looking around. Say, I'm going to take this command seriously to rest and to abide in Jesus.